This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I got a speeding ticket in the mail yesterday.
In the mail?
Yeah. I think I'm going to just ignore it.
It's Mike Shope.
Where was this?
Spain.
And the Bulldog.
I think if I just lay low, I think I'll get away with it.
Not mention it on the air?
Definitely don't want to talk about it on the air.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I like the sound of this more and more as we go. I'm an outlaw.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hi, how'd you like my tweet last night? I'm sure you have lots of questions about it.
The one with the little trophies in it,
yes,
and it took up like three screens in a row of my device as I was looking at it.
Would you have formatted that differently yourself?
No,
I kind of put them into tiers.
I liked how that came together. Yeah, how long did it take you to compile all that?
I don't know, half an hour to an hour. During the game, then they tied it, so I just put it on a shelf for a few minutes. Then they lost, and I'm like, "What the hell? Why not?"
Really? You didn't put that out until they had lost the game?
Yes.
Man, I thought I saw it during the game.
It wasn't anything more than just like, this is not the time. If this ends up being a cool comeback win,
right?
This is not the time.
Yep.
But then they lost, and I'm like, This can be the time.
They did
come back, but this can be the time.
Sure.
No particular reflection on last night's performance. Just, why wouldn't it? It reminded me of the Bills drought, and it got to a point, I mean, well before the end, where the only thing really to say is just to sort of think about how long it's been. There's no need for, in my opinion, no call for just like, you know, blasting them. Blasting them's boring and completely played out.
I do not have any bullets left in that.
I know, right?
Weapon. Like I don't know.
This is a Baxter situation for me. Like, I'm not even mad. I'm amazed, yeah. Baxter. Like, yeah. Just that's really it. So I counted those, and of course I miscounted at least one.
I did see a correction on Seattle has 14 playoff games now.
Seattle won a round and then lost a round the same year, so I missed that. The original tweet has at least one mistake in it, Seattle. Mm-hmm. And that 14 would have looked better there next to the Sabres than 7 does.
Sure.
And have been accurate. But what? Just that is a way of, this is how long it's been. One thing, I'm going team by team.
That's why me having to scroll on my phone to see the whole thing made it enhanced it. Because if the point is, it's been a long time. Like, this is a really long list of teams that have played playoff games since the Sabres have played a single one, and it doesn't just show up on one screen. You gotta move it to see the whole thing.
Yeah,
that takes some doing.
Well, that's
part of the point.
And you know how it's going to end. When you click on that tweet, you pretty much know how it's going to end. But I don't know. Like, that's just it. It's 1,000-some NHL playoff games. We don't even maybe know what we're missing with the playoffs. I have been into Severance lately, and maybe there's the show is having a little effect on me because, like, it does seem like another life going to playoff games and, like, caring about who wins in the league.
It's so funny. I saw a tweet from our friend Brian Mazeroski, who works down the hall on the mornings on News Radio 930 WBEN, and he said, Severance, except the chip activates when I enter the arena.
Yeah.
Like, so it's funny that you would mention that in this context. I do still know what we're missing because I invest heavily. I love the playoffs and I still get excited for what, you know, whatever. It's Hockey Night in Canada or whoever is carrying the Leafs' first playoff game because they're always in the playoffs, at least for the first round. Anyways, they've got their own streak going, although they broke that and at least got to the second round recently. But
yes.
It you know.
64.
I think. What's that?
64.
64.
Toronto has played 64 playoff games since the Sabres left.
What I think we have right now was, I think to an extent, the Four Nations face-off, I think, tickled a lot of hockey fans, a lot of Sabres fans here. Like, oh, yeah. I remember caring about this. And, you know, it's a different stage even than the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's country versus country, and that's a ratcheted up, at least with how long it had been since that had happened. And I was here that week. You were away while that was, unfolding. You were here for the first part of it, but then that second week when the championship game was held. And a lot of what I was feeling, I don't think I talked as much about it because it's depressing. It's just, it's stark when you pour yourself into a hockey game. It, like, what time is it starting? Who am I going out? What are we having to eat? Like, all kinds of things that you just don't even consider anymore at all for regular season Sabres games.
Necessarily, yeah.
Mostly. I don't anyway. They aren't events anymore. They're more obligation for me. Like, I like hockey. I'm going to watch a hockey game every night anyway. We have a team in town. I'm watching my team, you know. So it's some part recreational, but also some part, you know, I should do this. And here along comes this tournament, and it's just, like, you don't have to ask me. Like, I can't wait. Like, when's it starting? What do you mean 8:20? What's wrong with 8:05? 8:07? Let's go. And I think when it ended, there's this sort of, oh, okay, we're back to this. We're back to talking like this, and okay. It's just there's no excitement about it, and I don't even really know what they should do about it other than fire Kevin Adams, and I don't know if that'll immediately make anything better. I mean, it could, I suppose, a different vision, a different person choosing who the core players are going to be and all that kind of stuff, but I just, short of somebody having an incredible goalie year sometime soon, I don't know how this changes. Unless their luck just changes. Because they just seem stuck to me. Really stuck. Roster-wise, they're just a mess. Sorry. I don't know if this is where we were supposed to be going.
But well, you've already said a lot of different things. I'm not sure I agree with all of them. Part of this is not directly to disagree with what you said at the end there, but part of the Sabre, the mystery of it all, is that they've always had, not always, but like since Jack anyway, they rate okay in terms of talent, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they should. You've got first overall picks. You've got, I mean, I'm fine with Power. Like, he's not this for me. Darlene, of course. What Reinhart was, what Eichel was. These are not busts.
I still look at them now and think they've got, I think they have enough good players to be a good team.
Yeah, so.
But it is
working. Is that a mess? Like, that's not such a mess, you know? It's maybe, there are bigger messes. And if you have a bigger mess, like maybe the team they're playing tonight, or was before picking first, Chicago, like if you have a bigger mess, then it was like what the Sabres were 10 years ago, which is like, okay, this is kind of exciting.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I can start over. The Sabres can't exactly start over. I mean, probably. And I'm not sure they'd want to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always, I think with the Bills, the drought made sense. They didn't have great quarterbacks. They didn't have great coaches. And New England had Brady and Belichick. And you're just going to lose. You know, you're going to finish in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually what the Bills did. It wasn't fun.
No, and they usually weren't where the Sabres have been often, which is last.
Right. And that, again, comes with some juice. Last comes with juice. This doesn't. Last year didn't. 2 years ago was close, and it was like progress that they were close. These years, the last three or four, last is better. You know, like, what to do at the deadline? If you're last in the conference, and you've got 20 games left or so, 24 games left, sell. But that's not as interesting because the years of doing that have come and gone, and you don't really have the assets like you did other times, probably to pay that off as well. And even if you do, it's another round of prospects and development, and just like everybody's bored.
Yeah.
So that's wrong to me, but.
But that's the problem. Like, to me, when I say stuck, that's exactly what I mean. It's so interminably boring at this point because they should do all the things you do when you're in last place, which is sell your veterans that have any marketability at all for stuff. And fine, finish last, go win the lottery. We've done that. And, you know, that's not saying like another guy won't help, but it is not going to get me to anywhere that is different than I feel right now today. It just isn't. And I don't have to be right about that, but I feel so much like a person who could have called us 10 years ago and said, hey, let me know when they're good again. I don't think that's unfair. It wasn't unfair 10 years ago. It's pro sports. You're paying money to go there. You're investing money to watch them, whatever. You're buying the gear. You love the team. You love Gilbert or Hasek or Pekka or LaFontaine, whoever, and you're hooked. And this is not rewarding. And if you want to throw up your hands and walk away and go, like, let me know when they're good, like, I get it. Because it feels more and more like the thing to do. But what? Like, I don't want, professionally, that is not functional for me. But yet, I don't know what else to say anymore about them. You're not going to be in here on trade deadline day, and I have no idea what do people want?
I just realized today I was leaving you on your own on Friday for the deadline. Sorry.
Don't apologize.
I would dread it.
I don't know. I'm not the least bit stressed out about it at all. Just so you know. Like, I just think I'm going to sit in here and do what I'm doing right now. And I don't know if it's going to be any good. I'm just telling you. What? What do you want? You want them to trade Zucker for a third-round pick? Congratulations. I mean, what? You know, you can't. They don't want to move Dylan Cousins for futures. I understand that. But nobody wants to give you somebody good and young for Dylan Cousins if they're trying to get Dylan Cousins to help them make a playoff push. So you're not making that trade probably. And what? Then we're into the off season, and then what? It's July 1st. Oh, well, let's see what happens now. What? I'm going to go shopping for what then?
No, well,
and I don't know. I just keep digging here, but I don't know what else to do.
That's stuck in terms of the fans, the public face of it. I mean, that is what that means. As I understand you, what can they do about it? They can't really change that, and maybe trading off a couple guys doesn't change that at all, like you said, and might even sort of bring the critics back out because, like, so what? You know, just you have to just settle for that. You have to live with that. The Sabres have to live with that for now. It's just again, for me, a question of, will we have to live like this forever? Will it ever change? You know, it's Terry. Like, the cap is going up in hockey, which is not always the case. Like football, you know, like that's a story. And that's not going to help us.
No.
Because he's not going to spend to it. And now I feel like I'm back in 2002 or something, maybe, where not only do I not have the right group of players, but I'm going to get outspent. It's already been that way. So that's depressing. And, you know, due respect to Adams. I mean, we're coming up on 5 years and they're nowhere. Like, what are we doing? If you're a GM, I think the rule should be three. You know, you have 3 years to put something together, to get it to the middle. And they're not at the middle.
Right.
So that's just like, of course. I'd expect there to be a change, but I don't know. You come to expect the Sabres to not do things, and you end up being right. But not when the season ends always, and, you know, coaches come and go, and GMs come and go. I'm not expecting Ruff to be here next year. I really never have been this year, because it feels like the past, and they're not good. And he said when he took the job, he wasn't sure he wanted to do it. And there's this Seth Apper, who I guess is important to have. It's what do you do Friday? It's how do they, you know, what happens in the next game tonight? But that's also like this faith, you know, and confidence. And
it's so hard to have any of that.
And the fact that Pegula, the first day, said that thing about Stanley Cups. I'll always remember for how he said Stanley Cup in a way no one else I've ever heard say it.
Right.
Everybody my whole life said Stanley Cup. The new guy says Stanley Cups. And that's the meaning, that's the reason for existence.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like so sad and funny to think about now. Every GM was never a GM before and was never one again. He did, I thought it was, you know, real. They did flirt with Mike Babcock, you know.
And Bylsma was a good fallback, I think, even to that at the time.
I agree with that.
His, you know, he's back in the league now, but he's been out. He was out since he got fired here as a head coach anyway. So, like, he doesn't seem like a star anymore. But I think he was a star when they hired him.
It was definitely a lot for them. They didn't get the top guy.
Right.
But they got somebody who'd won a cup. And I don't know, Bowman, Muckler. Like, they have a couple examples of that. And Bylsma was that. But even that is so long ago now.
Yes.
And Lindy's different because, I mean, he's been in the league so long and we sort of love him and like, but he was hired because he had been the coach of the Sabres and there was that attachment, and I just will not believe different. I mean, I think he had enough credibility to be the choice, but he would not have been the Hurricanes' choice if they were in the same situation, right? Like,
right.
So he's different in that way. And really, just like mostly coaches, GMs, they just stop short. I mean, they, whether it's Housley in his turn and Kruger and Granato, like no one else is courting these people. But the Sabres give them the job, and then they come and they go. And is that going to be different? Like, it doesn't, it sounds like, I always said it too. You don't have to lose because you're hiring a first time coach. It doesn't mean you can't win. It happens. But this organization so desperately should realize, and this has been true for years, the lack of credibility in the space that they have. And that's how you change that. If the roster can't be fixed overnight because of different reasons, That's reality. You know, that happens. You can't always, you're not starting over.
You're not the only team that has that problem.
No.
Not, you know, it's not half the league, but you're not alone. You know, there are other teams that players aren't eager to go to, and there are other teams that have bad reputations, and other teams that have bad contracts or underperforming players with big whatever. But the credibility part, that piece, I can't know, sitting here talking with you and to everyone out there, how much that impacts the overall. I don't know if guys around, like other players on other teams, talk to the Sabres players plainly about it. If the guys, like Casey Mittelstadt goes to Colorado, and does he text these guys? Guys, you will not believe it. It's incredible out here. You can breathe. I mean, I don't know how that goes, but they're standing, and Adams is fueling it. Earlier this season, with the just publicly admitting what he admitted, it could not have helped. I don't know how much it hurt, if at all, but their reputation was already, he was admitting publicly what everyone in the league has known. Guys don't want to choose to come there. If you attract a free agent, you're overpaying him, or it's a guy that's, you know, just barely in the league, kind of like fourth line guys, like they made a whole new fourth line, because guess what? You can't make a whole new top line because you can't attract those players. So, we'll remake the bottom. Maybe that'll work. And you're just in this spot where I think they need someone who has credibility to help them restore their credibility. And I don't know, that's like a chicken and the egg thing. I don't know who takes that job. Maybe Pat LaFontaine was some piece of that way back when.
Who also had never been in a personal job in the league.
So I don't know how that's why I feel like, you know, we want to fire Adams. The case is made. It's pretty airtight. What am I doing then? Am I upgrading one of the analytics guys from in-house? What am I doing?
You do this, and it, just like with players, I suppose, probably, you do this the only way you can do this. You do this with money. You buy it. You pay the person enough to convince them to do it, like a real sports team. That's how you do it. And if there's a Sabres tax because of the last 14 years, tough.
You pay that too, right?
You have to pay the tax. But if you don't do that, and they promote from one of their assistants, I mean, it just adds to the. Yeah, on the outside, again, they'll be 0-0 again in a couple of months, and we can run it back with new management. But it will not look at all like even Lindy didn't. You know, we talked to people, and there was a warm and fuzzy with Lindy Ruff, but plenty of people thought like, okay, I mean, it's just sort of, it's nostalgia. And I don't know. I just didn't want to settle for that because he's won so many games.
Right.
And
I wanted to respect because of how I think the community and I personally, and I think you feel about him. I wanted to look past that. But as it goes on, it feels more and more like they sure, it was credible from a hockey viewpoint.
Credible enough.
Right.
I would
but
say.
But it was... It was Marv coming back to the Bills, and I never wanted that. I didn't want that for Marv Levy then, and I did not want this for Lindy Ruff.
I know.
The day that was announced, I said, I just hope the stink doesn't get on him, and like, I don't know, maybe he'll just, you know, go on his way here, and we'll remember him as, you know, an all-time franchise cornerstone player, coach twice, but... It's not, I mean, it didn't change. You know, he, pretty pointedly, we got to win this game. And we got to be disciplined. And, you know, we can't stay out of the, they took 5 minor penalties last night in the first period in a game that the coach said we got to win. And we got to stay out of the box. 5 minor penalties. What are you doing?
Yeah, what is that?
What is that? Good job, the final 40 minutes, pulling your you-know-what together, but Jesus, 5 minor penalties. I mean, the period's only 20 minutes long. At least for one of those, you took somebody with you, I think, but the other 4, oh my gosh.
All right, you're getting there.
I needed, it took me 25 minutes.
You knew it was. You knew it was in there somewhere. You might just not want to let it out because it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good to say it to yourself.
It doesn't feel good
alone to the fans.
It does not feel good to let them upset you anymore. This is not therapeutic anymore. This is not helping me or anyone, I don't think. Like, when I blast off like that, usually I end up like, oh, yeah. And I'm not kidding. The three or four times this year I've done this about them, I don't get any feedback about it at all. Because everybody that I'm yelling at is dead inside about it. They just go, there's Bulldog doing that performance art thing on the radio.
No, they go, he's not wrong.
Right.
And they go back to what they were thinking about before.
Right.
He's not wrong. It's not like he's wrong. 803-0550. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Pregame for Sabre Sharks is at 6. This is WGR.
Even after the first period, we just talked about our 5-on-5 play, the discipline of taking the emotion down one tone, and we felt we could outskate him, outplay him, and I thought our guys did a great job of that. I mean, nobody's happy with only getting the 1 point, but the fact we were able to come back and do what we did, you know, just tells me they're invested in trying to win a game that, you know, when you're down 3, it's usually pretty tough to come back.
Lindy Ruff this morning on WGR, the Sabres host the Sharks tonight. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, 803-0550. They are, after these last three losses, especially now, staring at a 14th consecutive non-playoff season, which is by far the record in the NHL. And because it's hockey, I want to also point out, none of those seasons was canceled.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
Maybe you could have gotten away with a couple there because seasons were canceled.
There is one in there that's only like half a year, though. Like 13, they didn't start until like January or February, I think.
That should have helped them.
No, they didn't.
If you're an underdog, you want a shorter season.
Yeah.
You want a one-game playoff if you can have it.
What year was that? Was that 12-13, I think, is what I have in my head.
Sounds right.
Yeah. Anyway.
There was also, like, so last night I counted up just manually every team's number of playoff games since the Sabres last. It's on X, as Bulldog calls it. The list is topped by the Tampa Bay Lightning with 142. Mentioned the Leafs already today. I've got the number. A team comes up, I might just shout out the number.
Okay.
Keeping it on my 64. Toronto's had 64 playoff games since the Sabres last. I don't know who is like the one team with their number that is just like the biggest eye roll. Maybe it's the Islanders for me at 84.
Mm-hmm.
The Islanders have had 84 playoff games, 84 days and nights where you just couldn't even sit down because you were so excited for the game
and
built
they,
your life
and
around
them.
Have
they ever been really good during any of that? No.
No. There's
you would have never gone into a playoff year. Surely somebody bet on them, but you would have never gone into a playoff year talking about the contest. Who could win the cup? Are there 5-6 teams that could win the cup? The Islanders have never been one of those, yet they've played 84 playoff games since the Sabres last were in the playoffs.
One more than tonight's opponent, the Sharks at 83. There's also something called the round robin in the COVID year, where teams sort of played their way in. They played each other and played their way into the playoffs. The Sabres did not participate in that.
They missed out on that by a single point to the Montreal Canadiens, who they were playing in the game that was the next game, that it was the first game that got canceled.
Right. So the round robin, I don't think they technically count that as postseason, but I'm not sure.
Oh, so
that.
Those games aren't.
Those games are not included. Yeah. Somebody's going, oh, yeah. Not really. This is a right. Very much a straw man thing I'm about to say. So he's going, oh, yeah, sure, but you included the round. He did not. Okay. He did not include the round robin. It's complete. Everything is playoffs, real playoffs.
Montreal ended up with a pile of regular playoff games that year because they went all the way to the final, if I remember correctly, right?
Yes.
It's like Carey Price's last stand.
Okay, and they were in the Canadian division, maybe?
Right.
Wasn't there a Canadian
yes.
division? But
yep.
That had to help. 72 Montreal playoff games. Have they ever been good this whole time?
No.
72. 72.
But they made the final. I mean, they could have won the cup. So, I mean, I don't know. They had a good year that year, but
ultimately,
it was pretty shocking that they made it that far, I think.
Yeah. What's shocking is the zero I'm not mad. I'm amazed. I just cannot believe this was possible. I really can't believe this was possible for any franchise in that league. And I would have said that, I'm sure I did, 5 years ago or more. How do you go 10 years in hockey without a playoff? How do you do it? Like, Luukkonen, right? So it's just Sabres life. They get Levi for Reinhardt in that trade, and everybody's excited about him. He goes to another college season, and he's again the best goalie in the sport, correct? Like, he backed up his status with another great season mm-hmm. in college hockey. And then, maybe the Sabres will just sort of turn to him. Seems risky. Maybe they will do that. Maybe he's a prodigy. Maybe he's Tom Barrasso. Like, maybe he's just mm-hmm. Has the show ever sounded older than that? So we'll see. And he wasn't above being a kid thrown into the NHL. He was not better than that. So they worked that. It took a while. Then they get to Luukkonen, who maybe surprised them with an outstanding season.
I think they were organizationally prepared for Levi to pass Luukkonen like he was a broken down car on the side of the road.
So Luukkonen was kind of like, you know, maybe he should have been traded. We talked about that a few times. I like that idea. I thought there might have been interest in him, his being so young. And you've got somebody else now. You signed a veteran, whatever. I make it sound so easy, right? So instead, Luukkonen rises up and has a great year and gets a contract. And now what? And now he's back to
right.
890 or whatever, mm-hmm. and goalies, right? You know, shucks.
Yeah.
And Levi's doing well, but now you kind of have Luukkonen locked in here. Maybe not, but.
So you definitely have him under contract.
You have him,
but
right.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah,
I'm not sure he just has to play forever.
No, that's right. No, I think if Levi showed up in the fall and outperformed him, I don't have any trouble making that switch. I mean, I don't even have to move Luukkonen. He's not going to love it, but you know, if the time is right, and maybe it will be by next fall, I don't know. I'm not at all put out by Levi's struggles at the NHL level and these intermittent opportunities that he's gotten. I think the track he's been on here since he got to Rochester full time, even going back to last year when he went down for the end of the year and all through this year, has been exactly what they should have done with him from the start. That doesn't mean it's going to work, but I would not take what he's looked like in the NHL as like, oh, he can't do it.
Oh,
it's
no,
way too early for that.
Me neither. Let's go to Paul here. Hi, Paul.
Hi, guys. Interesting line of thought that I don't want to go down like the meta pitcher because it's so terrible. So for the rest of the season, I just hyper-focus on Dahlin because he is incredible. His stat line last night is a stat line no other defenseman in the world can create. 25 and a half minutes on the ice, plus two, three minor penalties, a goal, a block shot, and a handful of hits, and some dirty hits, too. He physically imposed his will all over that game. He was boiling to have a fight. I am surprised one didn't break out that he was in. But that hit where he did get penalized, he hit a guy from behind into the goalposts, and you could tell he did it on purpose. And I don't know, personally, I love that stuff. I think he's the Nikita Kucherov of defensemen. He will put 3 points on you and slew-foot you in the same game. I absolutely love watching him play. He does things that the other elite Norris Trophy cabal defensemen named Hughes and Makar just would never think of doing on the ice. He is physically so much more dominant than they are. You know, they skate really fast,
okay.
And they're great offensively, but I'd take Dahlin any day.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. I mean, I'm glad you like Dahlin that much. I don't know. I'm in here screaming about the penalties in the first period. He's the captain. Like, it's a tight one because what did he look like last night? I think the caller's right. I think he looked like he wanted to fight. He had a chance to drop his gloves and fight somebody and didn't. I mean, you know, if he'd have dropped him, maybe the guy would have dropped him and he would have gotten the fight. So I don't know how badly he wanted it, but he definitely had an edge. But it was overcooked. Like, I'm yelling about five minor penalties in the first period. Two of them were his. And the penalty he took late in the third period, thank God he got the goal to make up for it. Because, I mean, he could have hurt them. He hurt them in the first period, for sure, and could have killed them at the end. But, again, he made the play to bail them out. So, you know, it cuts both ways. You kind of look the other way and forgive them. The first period, to me, was stark. Like, the coach says we need to win this game and we need to be disciplined. And he's blasting guys 10 feet from the puck and barreling Brendan Gallagher into his own goaltender. Okay, your bravado and your machismo can have their moment. Good for you. Was that helpful?
It's complicated. I mean, he's showing his pride.
Right.
I feel with the caller here because I think, you know, Darlene is probably underrated overall. And I can appreciate all of his talent and pride, because that's probably part of what that was last night. I mean, how what would it be like? This was Eichel 2. What would it be like to be that good? And you're paid great, you know, it's hopefully a good life. But you are mired on a team that cannot figure out how to even make the playoffs or usually come close. And just how depressing and frustrating, to put it mildly, probably, that would be. I mean, this is legacy stuff. You want your name on the trophy. You're an all-time great if you're drafted somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I can also appreciate, I was thinking about this when you were talking in the beginning, like, not everybody is miserable going to the arena. Not everybody watches the Sabres in the context of, can they ever make the playoffs again? And sort of just like the way you and I tend to be, and like, you know, sort of checked out, as you were saying that earlier, and I've taken my turns talking much the same way. Not everybody's like that. And Darlene gives you, if you love the game, yep, and you're not, you know, you might be somebody that works at finding a way to enjoy it. You could just go to a game and never take your eyes off him. And if you know hockey, you're going to be impressed and you're going to enjoy that. So that's something. But I just can't. I mean, it's about the team. And Darlene is not the problem, but they just cannot make it work with even one of the best defensemen in the game that they lucked into because they won a lottery. I mean, they had odds, but still, like, you have to be lucky to. And Eichel and Reinhart were also second overall picks who have been great. I mean, they are great players. And I'm still sitting here just pondering life, right? Like, just what it's been so hard to understand. It's not always hard to understand in sports. The Chicago White Sox are not hard to understand. Like, the Pirates are a better example. The Pirates are not hard to understand. They're just not going to try. Ownership is just not going to try. And I don't know, like, is that this? Does he not try? Is he too involved? He's not too involved financially. And the arena is always another year older.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a new scoreboard this year and a roof.
Don't forget the roof. Right.
But the commitment to the product on the ice has been lacking. And that's not even putting it very strongly.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree that Darlene is far from any kind of a problem for them. But last night wasn't great, the way that started. And I don't know, I just got to say it at least once.
Yeah,
the caller's mentioning Makar and Quinn Hughes. Like, there's not a long list of defensemen who, to me, are better and kind of significantly better than Darlene. Those are two of them. I mean, just... fine, slew foot him, take stupid penalties is another way to compliment him for what he did last night. And, you know, but those two cats are, those guys are playing on special teams when they're playing international tournaments. Darlene never got off the bench on a penalty kill or a power play during that Four Nations thing. So, you know, that's what Sweden thinks of him. Just saying, like, he's great, but those two dudes, You could take them over those two guys. You're taking the third best guy out of those three guys. Easily.
803-0550, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR. Welcome back. Just going to hang out here this afternoon. We'll have the Sabres and Sharks tonight, pregame at 6. Let's talk to Mark next. Hi, Mark.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling, Mark.
I guess I don't have to ask that question. I think the Sabres do have a lot of young talent on the team, and they have good talent on the team. And what I'd like to see them do, instead of swinging for a home run, is swing for a double. And what that might mean is, you know, and I'm not 100% sure if this is true, but I had heard that Lindy Ruff came in and he was not able to bring any of his own staff in. And if that's true, let him bring his own staff in. And then maybe getting rid of Adams and whoever that they bring in, who knows who that will be. You know, and, you know, that they've hit a couple home runs and they've turned them into bunts. And, you know, I mean, look at the Eichel situation and, you know, and Reinhardt and these guys, they get in here and they should turn them into an unbeatable team, and they don't surround them with any senior leadership, and then they just go. You know, they just go somewhere else and win Stanley Cups.
It started with O'Reilly, right? Like, O'Reilly was supposed to represent some form of that, and he was also a good player. He got into a thing before his Sabres career even started, as it happens, and then when it ended, it was because he just kind of lost his love and feeling. And it part of a good organization is to avoid that or to prevent that to whatever extent it is possible. And it does not seem like the Sabres excel in this sort of player relations kind of thing. If that's not unfair, I mean, that's one example from what now is a long time ago. But so much time and energy seems to be spent on, you know, at least in terms of how Adams talks. And I feel like it's just, what's the likeliest thing here? Just the reputation within players that want to be here. It's not Toronto or Vegas, but man, is there an obsession with wanting to be here? You know, make it better somehow. Yeah. Maybe invest more effort into these guys' lives. I don't know. Like, this is one where I'm probably just spitballing because I'm starting on O'Reilly and that's like a decade. But it doesn't seem like maybe the right problem is just all good at this point.
Yeah, no. And look, guys age, guys mature, but both of those guys, not O'Reilly, or, I mean, O'Reilly played, he won the MVP, right? When they,
Conn Smythe Trophy.
Conn Smythe, the playoff MVP. And look, Eichel and Reinhardt really mattered to their teams when they won the Cup. But they were not the kingpins of those teams. They went in more, they're under, you know, Barkov and Ekblad and Bobrovsky. Like the Panthers, that's their leadership core. Reinhardt's wearing a letter now there. Like, he's respected, but he didn't have to be the guy. Eichel goes to Vegas. Mark Stone, like, forget it. Like, their leadership is set. You're just got to go there and fit in. And he's done great. He's become a fantastic 200-foot hockey player. He was a stud, even though the U.S. lost in that championship game in the Four Nations thing. But them being, once O'Reilly left, sort of handed the keys, maybe wasn't a great idea. At that time in their lives, anyway. And even now, again, they're not the guys on their team. They're important, obviously. They matter. They're star players in the league, but they're not the kingpins of their teams.
Fair enough. At or near the bottom of your list of, like, what it is about all this topic that just makes you crazy, you know, before, right? Like, big picture, game to game, whatever it is. Like, having to still litigate Jack Eichel and Ryan O'Reilly and Chris Drury and Daniel Briere and Dominic Hasek and Michael Pekka. Like, it's just the history of the franchise is this being at odds with your best guys. Is that the case right now? I'd love to know. Man, I almost tweeted this last night. I want, what a great night it would have been for some truth serum with Darlene. What is this really like, buddy? What is this really like? You know, wouldn't you love to just have him tell you? How does it not just completely deflate his passion, maybe is not the word. I don't know. How would it not be completely deflating for the good players, if not all the players on this team, to just have it seem like, is that too easy on them? Like, is that, if coach says play smart and they come out and play like, just, you know, like they're crazy or something, if you're going against the message, I don't want to give them every pass. Even they're good players, like you already did a few minutes on with Darlene and last night. But man, I just, what would it feel like to play for them?
Yep. I mean, they were in a position last night where, like, the game before Saturday night was chippy. The Sabres have this reputation from the New Jersey game. Like, I wonder, I'd love to know if how much of what was going on Saturday and even what was going on last night is the Canadians just sort of chirping at the Sabres because of the New Jersey thing and all, just all of it, the reputation of the team. Like, I'd love to know. Like, it's not even a working theory at this point, but man, like, they'd be an easy team to, I think, get under their skin, and that might explain them being the way they were, especially Darlene in that first period. He's trying to lead. I think it was misguided, but you know, you can understand. Like, they might feel stuck too. Like, these guys are, you know, they're treating us as, I'm almost going to swear here, but they're, you know, taking liberties with us, and I need to stand up. So yeah, I'm going to cheap shot this guy, I'm going to cheap shot that guy, and I'm going to serve my time. But you know, we're trying to draw a line in the sand. I mean, you can't win for trying sometimes.
It would help if their special teams were at all good.
Sure.
So that when they take penalties, they don't just get scored on immediately. And when they get power plays, they can actually look like they know what to do.
And not get scored on themselves.
And not get scored on immediately.
That would help too.
That would help too. I mean, who's going to be the first to make the 5-on-5 expected goals point today? Oh, right, because every day someone makes that point. And it's never me. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, at 803-0550. This is WGR.